Microphone check 1 2 1 2. You're tuning in to Nacho Average Sports, episode 6. We really thank you for, your faithful loyalty, solidarity, etc., etc. Because, we've been on a little hiatus, about a month, you know what I mean? A little summer break, if you will. Honestly, we actually had this episode ready to go a week ago, and then realized as soon as we released it that we had been duped by the internet, and that the first story we led off with had a bit of an error on our part. We weren't thorough enough to weed through all the Twitter trolls and realize a certain fact had been missed and totally messed up our whole narrative on a certain story, which we'll get to in just a second. But thanks for tuning in. We're kind of using this episode 6 to jumpstart the second half of season 1, if you will. We've had 5 episodes out now via Anchor. Shout out to Anchor big time for so many reasons. Obviously, in the past, we've thanked them for being able to share the dialogue you're hearing now on Nacho Average Sports, on other platforms such as Spotify and iTunes, to name a few, even Google Podcasts, which is only for Android as of now, but we look forward to that being on iOS in the future. But the biggest shout out, which was I guess maybe there's a reason for why this particular episode is coming out about 8 days later than I wanted it to, is because at the end of last week, Anchor did this fabulous thing where they provide a listener support feature for everyone who wants to donate to the podcast that they love and that are distributed through Anchor. So for Nacho Average Sports, if you go to anchor.fm/Nacho Average Sports, all one word, to go to the link, which is the main domain name link website for our podcast via Anchor. Again, anchor.fm/Nacho Average Sports. You'll see that there's now a support this podcast button. And if you so choose, you're so inclined, you have the option to choose a support level from 99 cents a month to $4.99 a month, or even $9.99 a month. And every creator who's using this platform receives 13% more per dollar. So consider that when you're donating to keep this podcast, among all the other beautiful podcasts, up and running. And so now let's jump into the second half of season 1. We're considering each season about 10 episodes for the time being. So this is episode 6. And, last episode, if you hung with us, you tuned in. It was really featuring the story of Kurt Flood opened up free agency as we know it for Major League Baseball, and then, the way in which free agency took hold in professional sports, as in basketball, NBA, National Football League, etc. Everyone making big money, millions of dollar contracts, but no one remembers who was the vanguard, who was the main guy who sacrificed his whole livelihood and career for the betterment of all these athletes and future generations. And that was Kurt Flood, who was originally from Oakland, California, had all-star career as a center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. And if you want to know more about that, go back and listen to episode five. But we bring that up because, that episode we recorded right around the Major League All-Star break. I think episode 6 here, we also have like a certain theme, right? Each episode is going to take on a different thematic context. And obviously we have the pillars for each show that are always consistent that we'll cover, and we'll get to that in a second. But we just wanted to, appreciate, again, the fact that we are recording this now for the second time, this particular episode, maybe is due to the fact that, we kind of had like a rough draft. So this will be hopefully a little more succinct. And looking at, all the different topics that I named here for this episode, really, it's about the fact that Sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought because we're having a thunderstorm here, which is not unusual in New York, Brooklyn. We're really out here all summer, thunder and rain all summer. Yay, tropical atmosphere, yay. So rainy day podcast for you. But you know, when we understood, like, wow, like, you know, all the topics that we're gonna, you know, address again in this podcast, really over the last 8 days have just been embellished. You know, like, we're not really deviating from what we brought up last week, but almost every storyline just has, like, more and more context. I mean, on a day-to-day basis, man, like, that's why I think, you know, we meant to say, or re-say, come trying to compile all my thoughts from the last podcast that I already recorded that you weren't able to hear, that we're re-recording now and presenting to you now. But the fact is that, you know, there's so much happens in sports that we're going to be trying to make this a bi-weekly podcast. You know, for a second, we were a little ambitious and we wanted to do every week, let's get a podcast out. Ah, Anchor, it's so accessible. You're just talking to the phone, blah, blah, blah. But yo, there's so much that happens, man. I'm just like, I'm exhausted. So I hope that the clarity of my voice is good right now for you guys, because I've had instances in the past where I record and then it doesn't sound great, and then so I had to re-record an episode. So I don't know, maybe the podcast gods are just telling me to, like, do a rough draft of a podcast every single time before I put it out. But I'm trying to be like Jay-Z with this shit. I'm trying to do it all in one take, man. But if for those who are just tuning in for maybe the first time or haven't really heard our episodes in the past, we have pillars, which are our go-to pillars in terms of the topics that we fill in on a show-to-show basis. So the first one we always kick off the show with, In the Paint, it's a basketball reference, is our current events section. Now, by now, you've probably heard of all of the things we're going to address in this show, topically, but, you know, we kind of have a different spin on it, maybe a different perspective than some of the other sports news or people and podcasts out there. But, you know, kicking it off, and this was the story that kind of threw us off the grid, if you will, was that Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves was giving, you know, a little hug out in the dugout to his friend and teammate Ronald Acuña Jr. And they were showing each other affection and, you know, getting a little head massage in the dugout in between innings. And, you know, you had the commentators who were kind of chuckling at the fact that they were, you know, cuddling or what have you. And of course, Twitter then took it and ran with it and did all this different stuff and all this toxicity, you know, in terms of the narrative and dialogue that we have in sports, which is what we're trying to address. You know, if I didn't say already eloquently enough, this episode is really going to focus on the toxic masculinity in sports from the amateur to the pro level. And we're trying to also counter that narrative with leadership. So, you know, the word on the street was that Ronald Acuña Jr.'s mom had passed away. And that's something on this show that we take very seriously. You know, my mother passed away 11 years ago. And so when we heard that that was, like, part of the storyline, we really fell for Ronald Acuña Jr. And as soon as we released the episode, we found out that his mom was still alive. So we were like, yo, what? So I had to delete the whole episode, man, because, like I said, Jay-Z, one take. I don't do this. I don't record, like, segments and then add a segment, even though Anchor gives you that option. But so now Ronald Acuña Jr.'s mom is actually, you know, glad she's still alive. She should live forever, as far as I'm concerned. But the whole thing is now, you know, people are really coming for Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña Jr. because they were being intimate in the dugout. And, you know, maybe they are intimate friends. Maybe there is more than the friendship there, and that should be accepted too. And obviously, you know, it's not. A lot of people, there's a lot of backlash, not just around the affection they showed each other, but any type of other relationship they may have off the field. But if you want to just talk baseball, man, the kid Ronald Acuña Jr. is a rookie of the year candidate, and he's playing some amazing baseball and hitting leadoff for the Braves the last 20 plus games. He's been on fire. You know, we wanted to also in within this current event section, in contrast, tie in the comments by Sean Doolittle, who's also a pitcher in Major League Baseball for the Washington Nationals, used to be on the Oakland A's. And we really appreciated Sean Doolittle's take, not particularly on the Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuña Jr. story, but in general, you know, he had some words to say because there have been a lot of athletes who have said some negative things either in the past on through their social media, through Twitter in particular, and Sean Doolittle wanted to address that. You know, this was actually on July 30th, and you know, for the fact is that since we've been away for so long, we're just trying to recap really what happened in the end of July and what happened at the beginning of August. So stick with us. I know, man, 11 minutes just flies by, but we've been talking for that amount of time already. So we're going to try to speed it up here. But, you know, Sean Doolittle was saying how, you know, quote, "It's been a tough couple of weeks for baseball on Twitter. It sucks to see racist and homophobic language coming from inside our league, a league I'm so proud to be a part of and that I've worked really hard to make a more accepting and inclusive place for all our fans to enjoy." And, you know, he just kind of continues talking about how, like, the answer isn't for athletes to leave social media. Social media can be great for an athlete. You know, there's a lot of tweets that have surfaced from several years ago, from a time in a player's lives when they may not have realized the impact of those words. But as you learn and grow out of that youthful indiscretion, delete those posts, is his message, to reflect that growth. Because between all the people you meet and the places you go, there's a lot of opportunity for personal growth in baseball. And it's entirely possible that those old posts no longer reflect that person's views, but actions will speak louder than words. And that it's a reminder that words matter and that the impact of one's words are more than the intent. Rather than feeling like this platform makes us targets and we have to censor ourselves, let's find a way to use the platform to lift others up and make a positive impact. So shout out to Sean Doolittle. You know, he went on to say, yeah, that homophobic slurs are still used to make people feel weak or otherwise inferior, which is bullshit. His words, "Some of the strongest people I know are from the LGBTQIA community, and it takes courage to be your true self when your identity has been used as an insult or a pejorative." And he talks about, you know, he calls that the privilege of playing in the major leagues and that there's no place for racism or incentive language or even casual homophobia. So big shout out to my guy, Sean Doolittle. You know, always mad respect. And, you know, what would do? That's his Twitter line. Well, what would do? He would show some leadership on and off the field. And we really appreciate him for that. And so we'll come back to some baseball topics in a second. But going into, you know, obviously this is super belated, all this NBA news we have, which we'll get to in half a second. But sticking with kind of the unfortunate toxic masculinity that, you know, permeates in our society on all these different levels. If you go to the AAU amateur level, about a month ago in July, there was a Bleacher Report reported that there was a AAU fight between players and referees that got ugly really quick. Apparently one of the referees was talking some smack to a player and things got out of control, and the players on a certain team, you know, ganged up on the ref and a fight broke out. Other refs got involved. I mean, it was a melee and it was quite ugly. And it's, you know, who's at fault? Are the players at fault? Yeah, I mean, everyone's responsible though, right? You have to think about, again, it comes back to leadership. If the referees aren't showing the leadership or are kind of instigating a certain level of toxicity, if you will, then, you know what I mean, it's unfortunate when things like that happen. We need to show a lot more leadership in terms of, you know, just being better sportsmanship all around, you know. We don't have time anymore in this world, in this society, for BS, you know. Let's all act like we have a little bit more humanity at stake. Diving into, you know, kind of the pettiness of the NBA offseason, you had Carmelo Anthony get traded to Atlanta from Oklahoma City. He could have reunited with Jeremy Lin in Atlanta, but he did not. He was bought out. I guess Atlanta's going to send him a jersey, though. Shout out. And Melo recently, as of I think today or yesterday, signed with the Houston Rockets. Want, want, want. That's great. He's not going to play any more defense than he ever has in his career. He'll probably come off the bench for Mike D'Antoni, who he didn't get along with when he played with the Knicks. I don't see Houston getting past the second round of the playoffs next year. You had Kawhi Leonard, the Claw, go to the Raptors. That makes sense to me. Traded for DeRozan. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, can Kawhi take Toronto and the six to a different level? They have the chance now that LeBron's out of the East. Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, had a lot of ups and downs last year, ultimately signs with Denver. And I think that was kind of, I don't know what to make of that. Like, interesting, right? Because you have some up-and-coming guards. You got Gary Harris, Jamal Murray. I mean, guys in that Denver backcourt are youthful and talented. And so I hope that Isaiah Thomas, A, doesn't stunt their growth as players, and B, I hope that he shows some better leadership in the locker room, man, because the rumors coming out from last year when he was in Cleveland and Los Angeles were not very good. But we still have love for IT, so we hope he has a good season. Jabari Parker to the Bulls, left Milwaukee. Okay, we'll see what happens. We wish him well in his career. Just maintain health, my guy. The Dubs, you know, they make a little sneaky signing with Jonas Jerebko, who I feel like fills that Omri Caspi role of last year. And, you know, unfortunately, Caspi wasn't able to join the playoff roster because he was hurt. And the Warriors had to give that roster spot to Quinn Cook to play point guards, and Steph Curry was hurt. You had Sam Decker get traded to Cleveland from the Clippers, interestingly enough. Talking about more toxic masculinity here, man. Unfortunately, Tristan Thompson, did he actually punch Draymond Green at the function? Who knows? Did KD and LeBron actually break up the fight? Who knows? I, you know, would put my money on Draymond Green, though, in like a real fight. Not that that's what we're promoting, but just for the record. Bill Russell, the OG, I wouldn't say this is toxic by any means. He just means, you know, he's just playing around. But, and I think everyone appreciates it. You know, he flipped off Barkley at the NBA Awards for one, and then he flipped off Vince Carter at Summer League. I don't know. Bill Russell's out here, man. He gets to do whatever he wants. He can flip off anyone he wants. Louisville Hoops, back to the NCAA. The players are suing the NCAA over the 2012 and 2013 seasons, which one of those years were vacated championship under Rick Pitino. And Rick Pitino was still in the news a couple weeks ago for texts being uncovered, sus texts. I don't know. Rick Pitino needs to get gone. As my roommate once said, Pitino Paterno, tomato, tomato. That wasn't good. That's not a good joke. But anyway, moving on, you know, on a real serious note, and this ties into the NBA family, but also where I'm from, Oakland, California, it was kind of disheartening to see that the only major news outlet other than, let's say, the New York Times, were covering the story of the death of Nia Wilson. And Nia Wilson was brutally stabbed to death by a white supremacist on the BART platform at MacArthur Station in Oakland, California a few weekends ago. The Undefeated reported the story in connection to Portland Trail Blazers guard Damian Lillard, who's originally from Oakland, California. And just to read some excerpts from that, you know, It was Lillard who was saying, you know, it's tough to put something like that into words because there's really no reason for it. All of a sudden you see the family, you know, put out a statement. I guess he's talking about the killer, but I don't even want to reference that guy. But, you know, they talk about, they quote Lillard as saying that he's certain that he had seen Neil Wilson on more than one occasion because his cousins know their family, and that it was so hard to see her dad talking about his loss, you know. And that, you know, Damian Lillard, when he was a youth, you know, in Oakland, he used to take BART at night, going from practice in Berkeley to San Francisco and everywhere he would take BART. You know, and that actually, you know, Nia Wilson also went to Oakland High, where Damian Lillard attended high school. And in 2016, you know, he had brought Fetty Wap and DJ Esco and Lil Uzi Vert to the gymnasium when his jersey was retired. And who knows, maybe Neil Wilson had attended that concert at the high school. But, you know, we want to just give a shout out to the Undefeated, because they're really the only major news outlet other than the New York Times that we saw covering this story in a certain way. And we want to send all our heartfelt regards to Neil Wilson's family. In sticking with, you know, those who we've lost in memoriam, this is our Beyond the Arc section. That the last section we just covered was our lost art of the mid-range jumper, so, you know, kind of some recent history. But Beyond the Arc, you know, we connected to people who have passed, who in July, you know, two UCLA basketball guards who used to play for the team passed away. One, Tyler Honeycutt, was involved in a shootout with police and ultimately barricaded himself in his home, and he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But I tell you, I've been searching for reasons why he was even involved in a shootout to begin with, and I don't know, maybe he just instigated that, and maybe he had a lot of mental health issues that weren't addressed. But that was on July 7th, and then 3 days later, Billy Knight, 39 years old, died of, I guess, an apparent suicide. But also, even it was so like hard to find articles that were like clear in terms of how these two men passed. Basically, what the takeaway is, that I feel like both of them had a lot of mental health issues that they weren't able to deal with, and unfortunately, violence is something that they chose to lean on to take their own lives, and it's just really sad. And it just, you know, like, I don't intend to ever have these episodes be so heavy, but this is some of the what really happens, man, in sports. You know what I mean? Like, I usually try to use the title of this show, Nacho Average Sports, in a light way and like an endearing way, but, you know, Nacho Average Sports is also lends itself to the heavy reality of what happens, man. You know, I don't think, you know, these are two basketball players, so, you know, obviously there's been a lot of research around CTE, which impacts brain trauma in relationship to football players. But that's not to say, you know, obviously I don't think these guys necessarily suffered from CTE, but they obviously suffered from a deep depression that went undiagnosed through high school, college, and after, you know. Obviously their careers didn't take off the way they wanted to in the NBA. Neither of the guards really were able to stick in the NBA. But nevertheless, our condolences to the family of Billy Knight and Tyler Honeycutt. And now, you know, it's a hard segue to go into. But, you know, when we talk about leadership or lack of leadership on the field, you know, now we focus our direction towards Ohio State and the Ohio State football college program, under the direction of Urban Meyer, Coach Urban Meyer. And obviously Urban Meyer is a great coach, and he's won a lot and this and that, but yo, you know, he's had a man on his coaching staff who has apparently abused his wife for years, and he may have known about this for 4 or 5 years, and the guy was never really taken off of his staff. And, you know, thinking about all the issues that players at Florida, when Urban Meyer was coaching there, had, there was something like 27 arrests of you know, players involved in curious activity. And then you know, even more arrests when Urban Meyer left, but by players he had recruited. It just goes to show, even though at Ohio State, Urban Meyer has, you know, it's in the locker room, it says respect women. You know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to show it and to lead by example. Urban Meyer, you know, the conclusion of the investigation and what Ohio State chooses to do will take place and come to a close this week. So, you know, be on the lookout for that. But, you know, hey, you know, Urban Meyer had guys like Aaron Hernandez, you know, playing for him. Albeit, you know, he also had Tim Tebow. But, you know, I don't know. Urban Meyer may not always be the best coach in terms of looking for character guys, and it goes to show how much winning is prioritized over you know, the morality of the sport and the ethics of the sport. And it's really hard to see. So we're keeping our eye on what happens with Urban Meyer at Ohio State. And another story, you know, moving to our next pillar, which is our Hail Mary section, who's desperate in sports. And we don't say this lightly, because this was a life and death situation as well. But, and this happened in July, was the Thai youth soccer team. You know, that's a moment. It's a moment in history, but it's a moment in sports history as well. I mean, it's a youth soccer team. It's an amateur soccer team. But yo, these 11 or more youth soccer players and their coach were in a cave for 18 days, and they only survived because they meditated and they practiced breathing techniques. Luckily, their coach was a former monk, but obviously the coach shouldn't have took them in there to begin with. He's quoted as saying, "I'll think twice before doing something like that again." Yeah, my guy, you better think like four or five times, you know what I mean? And you know, obviously the young soccer players who you know, escaped, they all survived. Obviously they all feel really some type of way about the fact that a former Navy SEAL, Saman Kunan, lost his life in trying to rescue them. He had gotten caught in a part of the cave where the water had risen too high and he couldn't escape. So you know, so much tragedy has happened in the world of sports in the last month, and it's nothing to take for granted in terms of, you know, yeah, we live our lives on a day-to-day basis, we focus on the world of sports, but you know, we're all human too, you know. And so we appreciate having this dialogue and you being able to tune in and listen and share experiences with us. You know, like, if you have any, you know, follow us on Twitter, at Nacho Podcast is the sports section of our Twitter accounts. And if you have any, you know, topics you think we need to address on this show that are meaningful, let us know. Tweet at us, and we'll get back to you. And when I say we, I mean me, myself, and I. But this is Nacho, your host. And, you know, like we said, you know, there's all these stories of tragedy and toxic masculinity, and how do we counter some of the narratives? How do we supply some optimism? Well, one of the ways is, you know, our next section, our hole-in-one section, is who's killing it in sports. And it's not necessarily always on the court, but perhaps off the court. And definitely, in this case, off the court, being that LeBron James, although he left Cleveland to become a Laker, he opened his I Promise School in Akron, Ohio. And, you know, it's an amazing feat. It's an amazing feat for an athlete to do that in the midst of his career. He hasn't even retired yet, and he's opening up a school for his hometown. At the same time, I saw a meme that had a lot of truth inherent in it, which said basically that a young man in inner city America has to grow up to make thousands of dunks just to provide basic needs to his community. And that's also a true fucking statement. Pardon the profanity. That's a true statement. And as Childish Gambino said, this is America, you know. And just for LeBron to support underprivileged youth, he's had to do so much. And then what happens? Who responds to you know, the a great story that Don Lemon had provided covering LeBron James and the I Promise School, but the president himself, number 45, old Cheeto orange red face, blonde dumbass Trump, hating on LeBron. Like, what? Like, bro, don't you have anything better to do? You obviously don't have anything better to do. And, you know, something about, I like Mike, is what Trump said. Something like, something about how LeBron is stupid and he likes Mike. Well, you know what? Here's the hot take. And I'm not saying any of this to divide. You know, I'm really, you know, I think the left does enough politically to divide itself. But I'm going to really go in a little bit right now because Jordan never did something like this, let alone in the midst of his career. Has he opened a school for inner city kids since he's been retired? Nah, LeBron's done it and he's still playing. How about all the young people who have lost their lives over Jordan shoes? Has any profit from those shoes to the Jordan and Nike brand gone toward any restorative justice trainings or community protocol around educating youth that a person's life is worth more than a pair of shoes? Has any money or profit from the Jordan brand done anything to uplift inner city youth in a real way? In a real way. I could be wrong. But in terms of the GOAT, and we're talking greatest of all time, I think LeBron takes the cake in this matter, okay? It was Jordan who said Republicans also buy shoes or buy Nikes. It was Jordan who, yeah, he wore the American flag at the Olympic after the Olympics because he could, so he could cover up the Reebok logo, okay? Jordan's got a lot of explaining to do, I would say. And he gave a little endorsement. I think LeBron's doing great for his community. A real raving endorsement there, Jordan. You know, as you said in North Carolina a few years ago, the ceiling is the roof, whatever the hell that means. So obviously that's how he lives by his life. The ceiling is the roof, and he must not have any more expectations of himself in terms of what he should do for the black community and the inner city, you know, kids who are struggling on a day-to-day basis. I think LeBron's the GOAT for this one. And I think Jordan's looking up to LeBron in terms of leadership. Okay, let's leave it at that. We're winding down now, and we are proud to say that because we did this episode before, we're actually flying through this one. And thank you for sticking with us. You know, we're at like the 32-minute mark, 32 and a half, give or take. And, you know, I kind of wanted to close it out, though, on a more fun note. You know, I don't want to always have to be so heavy on the set. And this is a topic out of left field that I've been wanting to get into for a minute. I was mad excited when I went to talk about it a week ago, but even more has happened since then. And, you know, a couple episodes ago, I said it when we were not even in the thick of the race, you know, but I could just tell, you know, all I said was this: the American League West in Major League Baseball, with the defending world champions, Houston Astros, is the toughest division in baseball. With all due respect to the Red Sox and Yankees, it's the AL West that's the toughest division in baseball. And I was like, yo, my A's, my Oakland Athletics, have a chance. This was about maybe 2 months ago, maybe three episodes or so ago, four, you know? And now we come all the way to where we are now. And, you know, there's magic in Oakland, man, baseball. Every 4 to 6 years since, like, 2000, there have been some magical runs. And we're experiencing them, one of them right now. As of last night, you know, the A's are in the thick of an incredible homestand this week against the Mariners, who they're a couple games in front of in the wild card, and they overtook them a couple weeks ago, passing them for that second wild card spot. And now we're only two games back at Houston for the division. What? Yeah, the Oakland A's, baby. If you know me, I love and die. Like, basketball is my sport, but I will live and die with the Oakland A's as a team forever because it's the last team rooted in Oakland. We got the Raiders going to Vegas fugazi-ass, like, c'est la vie. The Warriors, with all their success, they better really appreciate this last year in Oakland, because then they're going to go to San Francisco, and that juju's not going to be the same in Chase Center like it was in Oracle, I'll tell you what. But, yo, you know, Lowry made his first All-Star game as a member of the Oakland A's this year. We had Blake Treinen, who's the closer. But don't forget about guys like, you know, and to you know, not be heavy but to keep a humble perspective on life and sports and it, the way it intersects. You know, when we brought Stephen Piscotty to Oakland this offseason, it was also with the idea in mind that he could be here, you know, be in the Bay Area. He's a native Bay Area guy, to be with his mom, and his mom passed earlier this year from ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, and now the Piscotty family is helping to donate to look for a cure into Lou Gehrig's disease. But ever since then, you know, Piscotty has been playing his butt off ever since, you know, his mom passed, and so obviously he's playing for a lot more this season. He's got a chip on his shoulder, and you know, with teammates like Chris Davis, the other KD in the Bay Area, deserves a lot more respect around the league. Obviously, he's DHing, but the guy's got, you know, he's up there in homers, and he's up there in RBIs, and it's like nobody mentions him, man. A savvy move by Billy Bean, a couple savvy moves, but another one he made in the offseason was by picking up Jonathan Lucroy. He's been a great veteran behind the plate for our ragtag bunch of pitching staff, but he did catch Sean Manaea's no-hitter against the Boston Red Sox this year. His bat is coming alive a little bit recently too. That's been helpful. And then you got those guys who are like these typical A's, right? You always got a couple guys who are just like utility cats who will do anything you need them to fill the void with effort, just effort. And that's Mark Canha and Chad Pinder, my guy Chad Pinder. These guys are always in the mix. And then you even got guys like Nick Martini out there, who filled in since, you know, Dustin Fowler's a great young talent, but he wasn't able to put all the pieces together this year. We look forward to maybe bringing him again when the 40-man roster opens up in September. But, you know, it was nice to now, you know, give the opportunity to a guy like Martini. Then they called up that kid Laureano, and I was giving a shout-out to Laureano after, you know, his first hit was a walk-off. How splendidly Oakland Athletics is that? And then he made the most incredible defensive play in Anaheim this past weekend, where he tracked down a ball that was going to left center at the warning track. And not only did he catch it, there was a guy from first base Eric Young, who had to go after he was trying to get to third base because he thought that ball wasn't going to get caught. And now Laureano throws the ball on the money, a strike to first base to double him up. It's the most incredible defensive play of the year. And this kid Laureano just gave another spark to the A's that we need. I mean, guys are coming off the bench, you know, doing everything. We get every ounce of effort we need from these guys. And the Oakland A's, man, they just make it happen. They've been playing 20 games above 500 for the first time since 2014, and that was the last year that we made the playoffs. So it's been an incredible stretch to make the second wild card spot, still have a shot at the division. Got guys like Edwin Jackson, who's playing for his 14th team. We gave a shout out to Edwin Jackson a couple episodes ago, but you know, now he reached his 100th win. He's feeling himself. We got Familia in the mix, even though Familia made a horrendous effort last night, made it way too close of a game, in my opinion. But you know, even Trevino, who now is being succeeded by these new acquisitions. Don't forget about Trevino. He did a great job for us and will continue to do so. He might be hitting a wall. He's a young player, but he was doing great as a setup for Treinen. And then we had these acquisitions. We got Fires, a starting pitcher from Detroit Tigers. He pitched well against the Dodgers. We got Sean Kelly from the Nationals. We just picked up Fernando Rodney. You know, we're in it. We're in it to win it. And shout out to Brody Brazil, commentator, for his comparison to the 2012 team, which that team won the division on the last day of the season. But you know, this A's team might be even more of a shocker because we might get the division before that. The similarity, I think, in terms of, you know, relying on that flair for the dramatic, perhaps 2012 had more walk-offs, but this team also knows how to do it. I mean, we might be able to rely on more ways to win. Our offense might be a little more potent, but you know, we still have that patchwork starting rotation. But you got to love guys like Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson, who have been on with the A's before, and now this is their second, third go around with us, and they're making the most of it. And you know, we're gonna see how we continue to go, man. We got a hell of a bullpen, and you know, it was great the other night. In watching the two-game series against the Dodgers. Is that a World Series preview? Hey, it happened 30 years ago, Dodgers-A's. That didn't turn out great for the A's, but what a rematch that would be if that could happen again this year. But, you know, like we mentioned at the top of our episode, this one, and recapping last episode, when we mentioned Kurt Flood and Joe Morgan from Oakland, California, Hall of Fame second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds, was in the booth talking to Ray Fosse during the game, during the Oakland and Dodgers game, and they were talking about Kurt Flood. Now, I don't know if they listened to my podcast, but everything they were addressing, I had already addressed about a month previous. But I appreciate everything that they were saying because more people need to know at least the name of Kurt Flood. And I like what they, you know, they said something about, Joe Morgan said there should be at least an award, a Kurt Flood award, which I agree with. I was saying more so that there should be like a Kurt Flood, like, I don't know, grant or some type of scholarship, or, you know, if one penny from every single $1 million contract that any free agent in all the major sports signs, that scholarship would be humongous. So, you know, in some way we need to remember Kurt Flood, or that maybe we should just stop calling it free agent contracts and call it Kurt Flood contracts. You know what I mean? Something. But thank you for, you know, listening to our little Oakland A's love rant. We're gonna be following the A's more and more. You know, we got about another month and a half of interesting baseball ahead of us, and this week is very interesting. We got two more games against Seattle to try to open the gap between us and them, and then we got Houston coming into town, and we might be looking to take the division at that point. Fingers crossed. Knock on wood. Boom, boom. We're winding down the show. We appreciate you for sticking with us. Usually the last pillar of the show is called our hat trick, because we have about three topics or more that we like to try to shout out before we end the show. But this time around, we're going to call this one the bucket hat trick. And the reason why it's called bucket hat trick is in honor of Hunter S. Thompson. And if you don't know why Hunter S. Thompson is affiliated with sports in any meaningful way, well, we just found out why ourselves not too long ago. There is a bizarre story that writer Hunter S. Thompson was in touch with Colts owner Jim Irsay in 1998, a month before the NFL draft, in which obviously and historically the Colts took Peyton Manning number one overall. But who was also available? Draft bust Ryan Leaf. And apparently Hunter S. Thompson was a big Ryan Leaf fan. And who knows why the Colts were looking for a $30 million loan from writer Hunter S. Thompson. But this is a real thing. Here is a letter from Hunter S. Thompson from Woody Creek to Jim Irsay, Indianapolis Colts, March 14th, 98. And it reads, "Dear James, in response to your addled request for a quick $30 million loan to secure the services of the Manning kid, I have to say no at this time. But the Leaf boy is another matter. He looks strong." Underline strong. "A Manning and Manning doesn't. Or at least not strong enough to handle that welcome to the NFL business for 2 years without a world-class offensive line. How are you fixed that left OT for the next few years, James? Think about it. You don't want a China doll back there when the freak sap comes crashing in. Okay, let me know if you need some money for Leaf. I expect to be very rich when the Depp movie comes out," right? Fear and Loathing Las Vegas, Johnny Depp portraying Hunter S. Thompson. Well, unfortunately, Fear and Loathing Las Vegas. It was a cult classic, sure, but it failed at the box office, and it cost an estimated $18.5 million to make, and it only grossed $10.7 million in the United States. So I don't think Hunter S. Thompson would have had that money to shell out, even if the Colts wanted to take Ryan Leaf. And luckily for the Colts, they did not. But yes, a bizarre. Those are the types of bizarre stories we like to address here on Nacho Average Sports. Another bizarre thing, which I guess has been worked out and ironed out, was that Colin Kaepernick's name was left out of the Madden soundtrack. And then you had artists like YG, whose song it was with Big Sean and Nicki Minaj and 2 Chainz, call out EA Sports and Madden for leaving Kaepernick's name out of the soundtrack, as if people weren't going to notice that shit. Since the new version of Madden has been restored now with the lyric and the name of Colin Kaepernick is in the song, they should have just never made that mistake to begin with. Ridiculous. We had ended the last episode just with those shout outs, but since then, you know, notable mentions: Tiger Woods finished second at the PGA Tour on the weekend. Hey, you never know, man. Shout out to Tiger. He's been through a lot of weird ups and downs in his career. Ooh, excuse me. Obviously, he hasn't won a major since in what, 10 years? But Twitter was going crazy about Tiger Woods. And so, you know, for what it's worth, maybe Tiger will win another championship at some point. Maybe not. And then you had the JBL League champs, the Junior Basketball League, which is LeVar Ball's league. And who won the Junior Basketball League? Well, the Los Angeles team with his two sons, of course. And, yo, shout out to CBS because they were trolling. They were like, biggest shocker ever. But, you know, we'd like to see what happens with the JBL League and what happens with the Ball family. It's very entertaining. And, you know, today's like Magic Johnson's birthday, I guess. Happy birthday, Magic Johnson. He's still alive, doing his thing. But, you know, and he's got Lonzo Ball saying he's going to buy Magic a new iPhone because I guess the flip phone quality of pictures that Magic Johnson is using is not up to par. So anyway, it's been quite a wild ride on this episode. We really thank you for tuning in. Not Your Average Sports. Looking on, going on 47 minutes now, and we're going to come down to a close. Our last words of encouragement for the show in terms of goals is that we are going to be trying to make this a bi-weekly ting. And if you want to keep us motivated, keep us alive financially, man, really think about this listener support button that Anchor has provided for us. 99 cents a month, $4.99, $9.99, whatever you think you're willing to dish out to help us on our end. We do this all for free, for pro bono for the time being, out of the passion and love of podcasting and for sports. And we love you all. So this is Uncle Nacho signing off for Nacho Average Sports. Stay tuned for episode 7 coming in a few weeks. Later.